Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 23rd. City protests injection wells at T-Bar Ranch. City of Midland and Pilot Water Gathering Delaware at odds over Pilot's plans. The story was written by Mellon McEwen. A dispute has broken out between the City of Midland and Pilot Water Gathering Delaware over Pilot's plans to drill saltwater injection wells adjacent to the city's T-Bar Ranch well field in Winkler County. Last summer, Pilot applied to drill 18 disposal wells in Sections 15 and 16 in Winkler County, where the City of Midland owns the entire groundwater estate in and under the entirety of the two sections and both the surface and groundwater rights in approximately 20,229 acres adjacent to the two sections. Three wells have been drilled but are not in use, and three have received permits. Midland officials in July had granted an easement for Pilot to construct a pipeline bringing produced water from New Mexico to the disposal wells. They learned in December that Pilot had earmarked five of the wells as commercial and protested, saying they had not received notice as an affected party who would surely be harmed as the T-Bar field supplies 30-35% of the city's water. They said they should have been notified as required under statewide Rule 9. Pilot responded the designation as commercial was an error and thus the notification requirement did not apply. Midland again protested, saying project would inject salt water and RCRA-exempt waste through the field, possibly endangering a major source of the city's water supply. Pilot's assertion is it will complete the wells with three strings of casing and the distance from the current water supply aquifer will protect groundwater. The city filed a motion to consolidate the docket for amending the five wells into one, which was protested by Pilot. A pre-conference hearing on the motion by Pilot to dismiss the consolidation request was held March 7th, and a ruling is expected this coming week. Depending on the ruling, either party can request a hearing before the three commissioners. The City of Midland and attorneys representing the city in the matter declined comment. Midland College Board passes tuition increase. Increase will impact lower division courses for college, dual credit, and early college high school students. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. The Midland College Board of Trustees approved a resolution to increase tuition in some courses on Monday. The resolution will increase tuition to Midland College students and lower division courses, as well as high school students taking dual credit or early college high school courses. Specifically, in-district college students taking lower division courses will notice a $2 increase to $101 per semester credit hour. Out-of-district and non-resident students will see a $4 increase to $159 and $201 per semester credit hour, respectively. There will be no tuition increase for any students taking upper division courses. The resolution also will create a $2 increase to dual credit and early college high school students. Their in-district student tuition will be raised to $71 per semester credit hour, while out-of-district and non-district tuition will be increased to $81 per semester credit hour. Vice President of Administrative Services, Rick Bender, said Midland College's tuition is right at the average when he compared Midland College's tuition to that of similar institutions like Odessa College or Howard College. With the increase, Bender believes Midland College will now have the same tuition as Odessa College while remaining at average price statewide. Midland College President Steve Thomas said the college tries to keep its tuition in line with the state average tuition. City provides update on upcoming Hogan Park projects. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. A hike bike trail and relocation of the dog parks are next on the agenda at Hogan Park. City of Midland officials provided an update to members of the Parks and Recreation Committee on Tuesday. Money left over from the $10 million already committed will be used for the upgrades. Officials reminded committee members $5.5 million had already been committed for improvements, lighting, and turf fields at the Bill Williams softball complex. Quote, "The $4.5 million remaining will be used to do the hike and bike trail around Hogan Park and to move the dog parks to a new location that will allow for future baseball field development," said Lori Williams, Assistant Community Services Director for the City of Midland. Williams said the new dog parks will be moved to the south and east of their current locations, kind of where the old concrete picnic tables are located, Williams noted. Quote, "It's that big area between the current dog parks and the current playground," Williams said. "The current playground will stay in place, but the small and large dog parks would be in that area to open up for the new baseball facilities to come into the area south of what's currently Bill Williams," end quote. The expectation, according to Williams, is the city will make progress with baseball fields at Reyes, Mashburn, Nelms in East Midland. Funds are committed to building 4 Little League fields and 2 high school fields there. Once those are completed, and there are city fields for high school teams, then the larger baseball fields at Hogan can be built or improved. Quote, "We have a lot of tournaments that come into Midland, and we want to be able to make sure those tournaments can include all different age groups," Williams said. Other improvements and their funding sources appear to be a wait-and-see process. At the recent retreat, the Midland City Council identified Beale Park upgrades and an indoor sports facility as high priorities. Council members also cited investigation of the hotel occupancy tax as a possible parks funding source as a top priority, and the direction and use of funding of oil and gas revenues as a high priority. During the meeting, Councilmember Dan Morales told officials and committee members that he hopes to go to private parties with a menu of options on how they could contribute to possible improvements.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. Happenings. What's Up with Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At Buffalo Joe's, glass night with Eccentric Brewing Company, Thursday. At the Destination, bring your own blues open blues jam, Thursday. Friday Night Live, Monty Branham, Friday. Jace Martin Band, Saturday. Friday Night Live, Damian Valenzuela, March 31st. At Eccentric Brewing Company, Casey Greathouse, Friday. Brunch, Saturday. Comedy Night, Saturday. Sam Choate, March 29th. Lee Harmon, March 31st. At the Horseshoe, Roseland Oil and Gas Convention, Thursday. Whiskey Myers, March 31st. At La Hacienda Event Center, Chase Matthews and Kid G, March 30th. La Senda Norteña, Los Recoditos, La Zona X y Harry Franco, March 31st. At Midland Community Theater, Sense and Sensibility, Friday through Sunday, March 31st, April 1st, April 7th and 8th, and April 14th and 15th. At the Midland County Historical Museum, Russell Lee Photographs Exhibition, now through April 8th. At the Museum of the Southwest, MAA Spring Art Show, Thursday. Downtown Midland Farmers Market every Saturday. At the Tailgate, William Beckman, Friday. Cody West, Saturday. At Tall City Brewing Company, Girl Scout Cookie Pairing, Saturday. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Chris D'Elia, Friday. Maricela La Dama de Hierro, Saturday. High Tide, March 28th. Joanne Shaw Taylor, March 29th. Mike Massimino, UTPB Shepherd Leadership Institute Distinguished Lecture Series, March 30th. Chad Prather and the Ragamuffins, March 31st. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, March 24th through 26th, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Listen to Border Town Blues. Hailing from Del Rio, William Beckman masterfully combines his classic country and American folk roots with childhood influences of mariachi and norteño. With a distinctive style and bilingual verses, Beckman rewrites the way Texas tunes can be heard around the world, making him a rising star in the music world. Beckman takes over the Tailgate stage with tickets starting at $15, available for purchase at https://bit.ly/3LXVVAA. To learn more about Beckman, visit www.williambeckman.com. Friday. Doors open at 6 p.m., 4401 North Big Spring. Run, Walk, and Jog for a Cause. The annual Shamrock Shuffle, hosted by Midland YMCA, supports the organization's scholarship program, which provides assistance to youth, adults, and families based on individual needs and circumstances. Participants should dress in their jolliest green outfits, and membership is not required to race. Options include a 5K, 10K, and 1K for kids. Registration and a detailed schedule can be found at https://bit.ly/3z16z77. Learn more about Midland YMCA at www.midlandymca.org. The race starts at Bowie Elementary, Saturday, 8 a.m., 805 Elk. Plant your spring wildflowers. With spring comes the bloom of plants and wildflowers, so why not have a personal collection? 9 Lone Star native wildflowers begin blooming in April. Firewheels, pink evening primrose, white prickly poppy, beech morning glory, false dragonhead, Texas lantana, Texas thistle, and of course, bluebonnets. Visit your local plant nursery and garden to stock up on these spring-loving plants and add homegrown love to your backyard, windowsill, and balcony. Sunday, various times and locations. Small Bites. Eccentric Brewing Company and Buffalo Joe's team up for Pint Night Thursday by Morgan Taylor Thomas. The community-oriented and small-town crew from Eccentric Brewing Company continue to expand its reach throughout the tall city with both private and public events. This time, the beer masters join fellow homegrown friends at Buffalo Joe's for a pint night like unlike any other. We're only as good as the people selling our beer, and it's important for the community to know that we're here and want to be part of the community, Brewhouse assistant Darian Butler told the Reporter Telegram. Supporting other local businesses is the best way to do that. Starting at 7 p.m. Thursday, Midlanders can visit Buffalo Joe's, 106 South A, to buy one or both pints of Eccentric Brews, Midland Lager, and a brand new surprise flavor seltzer that has not been sold outside of the Eccentric taproom. Along with the pints, guests will receive a complimentary drinking glass. For the lager, a never-before-seen creation embellished with the iconic Midland Angels baseball logo, used from 1984 to 1988, before the team's mascot became the Rockhounds. As for the mystery seltzer, expect the classic Eccentric Brewing Company logo, which includes a Greek letter-esque E stamped inside the Lone Star State. However, only 40 glasses for each pint stand available, so get there early and stay late. Buffalo Joe's will also offer $1 wings for anyone buying a pint. We're planning to try and do a bunch of beer dinners and pint nights at a bunch of places around town, Butler said. It's a good way for us to connect with the community in a way that's a little outside our comfort zone.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, March 23rd. Christian Duval Owen passed away on March 16th, 2023. He experienced a sudden medical event while kayaking in Lake LBJ in Marble Falls, Texas. Christian had not been feeling well for some months, with multiple doctors unable to diagnose the illness. He leaves behind his parents, Steve and Kelly Owen, sisters Caitlin Owen and Amanda Owen, grandmother Lina Owen, grandfather Kent Carlisle, grandparents Gigi and Aubrey Linney. Christian was born in Midland on May 14, 2001. He attended Midland Christian School from kindergarten to third grade. The family moved to Oklahoma in 2010, where Christian attended Emmanuel Baptist School in Enid for the remainder of third grade, and then moved to Edmond. He attended Cassidy School from fourth through 12th grade, and was a member of Crossings Community Church. Christian played football and baseball, ran track, wrestled, and was active in various clubs and organizations. Christian received numerous awards for leadership, character, and athleticism. Services will be held at 1 p.m. on Saturday, the 25th day of March, in the Cassidy School Chapel, located in Oklahoma City. Following will be a reception on-site and a graveside burial at Memorial Park Cemetery in Edmond, Oklahoma. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Christian Owen Scholarship Fund at Cassidy School at 9500 North Pennsylvania Avenue, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73120, and/or National Parks Service, and/or Big Brothers Big Sisters at 315 Tauber Street in College Station, Texas. Margaret Josephine Mims Hill was born in Midland, Texas, on December 1, 1926, the daughter of Midland native Percival Mims and wife Maureen Littlejohn Mims, who traveled by train from Tyler, Texas, in 1921 to serve as Midland's first homemaking teacher. In 1943, at the age of 16, Margaret graduated from Midland High School, then attended Texas State College for Women, now TWU, for 2 years, and in 1947 graduated from TCU. Returning to Midland, she worked for 2 years for Sinclair Oil and Gas in downtown Midland. In September 1949, Margaret married Felton D. Henry from Sweetwater, Texas, and in 1951, together with a one-year-old daughter, moved to Odessa, Texas, where she lived for the next 70 years. Her city of residence changed in 2020 due to the COVID pandemic. She and her daughter Susan relocated to a home in Midland. Margaret passed away at home on March 4, 2023. Margaret was a housewife until 1960, when she became a single mother. That year, she started her working career. She retired in 1991 with 20 years of service for the Ector County Independent School District in the administration building. Preceded in death by her husband, Billy Joe Hill, parents Percy and Maureen Mims, brother James Mims and wife Mary, nephew David Mims, and niece Nancy Mims Gears, she is survived by her daughter, Susan Henry Bush, and husband Glenn of Azle, niece Martha Mims Manulik and husband Matt of Midland, Becky Mims of Columbiana, Alabama. A graveside service will be Monday, April 3rd, 11:30 a.m. at Fairview Cemetery in Midland, where she will be honored and her life full of God's grace will be celebrated. In lieu of flowers, memorials made in her name to the following are greatly appreciated. Means Evans Camp at BloisCampMeeting.org or by mail to Means Evans Camp, care of Doug Colquitt, 6623 Longfellow Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75230. Nancy Jo Mims Gears Scholarship, Permian Basin Area Foundation, 3312 Andrews Highway in Midland. Rebecca Ann Sparks was born October 4, 1961, in Lancaster, Ohio, and passed away on March 18th in Midland. Ann was a dear friend and co-worker of many. Ann worked for over 30 years for the hotel industry and was a brilliant tactician and operations manager. Ann managed several hotels and ended her career as the director of operations for the DoubleTree Hotel in Midland. Ann had a lifelong love for animals and turned her career in that direction in 2012. The Balanced Dog was her creation, and she began the training of dogs and grew the company to include boarding and training. Ann is survived by the following family: children Amanda and Timothy Macias, Xavier and Ariana Sparks, Nicholas Sparks and Ayla Perez, as well as several grandchildren. She is preceded in death by grandson Dominic Lopez. The family is requesting a private family memorial, and a celebration of life will be announced for the spring. The family also requests that, in lieu of flowers, and would have appreciated a donation to an animal organization. Some that we knew she had interest in are Freelance Rescue Incorporated of Stanton, Fix West Texas, MASA Rescue, and Bully Bets.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading The Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. Caseworkers hampered by 90s-era software. Texas has poured more than $100 million into the state's aging foster care software known as Impact. This one 1990s-era application helps caseworkers keep track of where abused and neglected children are placed, as well as what health care services and schooling they have received. But despite complaints from weary Texas Department of Family and Protective Services caseworkers who use the antiquated system daily, and from lawmakers who hear about the system's shortcomings every legislative session, and even a reprimand from a federal judge, there's no plan to replace it anytime soon. At a House committee hearing last month, State Representative Jean Wu, Democrat Houston, pressed the DFPS commissioner about modernizing Impact. "I've seen buildings go up in less time. Can we throw money at this problem? Can we speed that up?" But Stephanie Muth, the new DFPS commissioner, who is well acquainted with Impact's track record, said a complete system replacement is not in the near future. "Before we say we need to replace more of the technology or throw Impact out and start something new, it's very important that you have your business process set," Muth said, tempering the Houston representative's urgency and expectations for an overhaul. "It would not be a process that takes a biennium or two, and you'd have to plan for that, so I still think we're talking about down the road." Disorganization, duplication, and inconsistency, IMPACT, short for the Information Management Protecting Adults and Children in Texas, was created based on federal regulations from 1993. It was built before the first iPhone made it onto store shelves to track and manage services for foster care children. In the 30 years that have followed, web browsers have been launched and then discontinued. Apple has released more than 30 iterations of the iPhone. The state's child welfare system, meanwhile, runs on the same technology system. Today, as part of their day-to-day work, DFPS caseworkers physically track down documents missing from the system. Caretakers are also often left with inaccurate or incomplete information about foster care children they have agreed to take on. The outmoded software has been rebuked by a federal judge in an ongoing case over how DFPS cares for foster children. U.S. District Judge Janice Jack in Corpus Christi has for years criticized the disorganization, duplication, and inconsistency in Texas foster children's case files. In her initial ruling, Jack tried to order an overhaul of Impact, but that mandate was struck down by the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Inherent problems with DFPS's outdated Impact system further impede caseworkers' ability to review important electronic case file information, Jack first said in 2015. This creates opportunities for important safety-related tasks to fall through the cracks, especially when cases are transferred between workers. impacts limited functionality means caseworkers can't upload or store documents like birth certificates, school records, and medical evaluation. The kind of information needed to assess a child's academic and health care needs. With a software this old, state workers must be tied to a laptop or tablet to update a child's record because IMPACT is not compatible with mobile phones. In the 90s, the internet really barely existed. People weren't doing their jobs on laptops, said Hope Osborne, a policy and advocacy manager at the data-based think tank Texas 2036. Now that we're in this digital age, most people's entire jobs revolve around their phones and computers. If you have a system that makes it more difficult for them to use those things, you've got some tension. Outside parties, including residential treatment centers and other facilities housing children, do not have access to IMPACT. Caretakers, as a result, have been given incorrect or incomplete information about fostering kids in their care. This complicates the implementation of community-based care, which involves outsourcing part of child protective services duties to local third parties. Christy Carrington worked as a state caseworker for 13 years before retiring last April. Because school records cannot be uploaded, she would visit a school's registrar to get information about a child's schooling, and because residential treatment centers cannot access the system, she would also regularly fill out lengthy forms before a child was placed in the facility. After 13 years, she said, all that inputting became part of the job. Those same caseworkers accessing IMPACT cannot view updates in real time, according to a 2014 assessment of IMPACT. For foster children who experience multiple placements or work with multiple caseworkers, IMPACT can impede their transition. The current IT tool and resources demand considerable time resources away from children and families. Staff spends considerable time doing administrative work to load information in the systems, often in burdensome manners, the report said. Band-aids on an aging system. Texas 2036 and the Texas Alliance for Child and Family Services estimated in January that a new child welfare information system would initially cost Texas about $80 million, but there are some funding sources available. As an incentive, lawyers in the federal litigation against DFPS have offered to give up the legal fees they have won to the state to fund a new technology system. 8 years ago, the federal government also began encouraging states to modernize their foster care data systems by offering to reimburse up to 50% of a state's costs if new programs include a more mobile-friendly design capable of real-time updates. Even so, Texas remains one of four holdout states that have not declared an intent to comply with user-friendly federal standards. Along with Alaska, Massachusetts, and Nebraska. While most states have signed on, they are still in the process of overhauling their own systems. When the federal standards came out in 2015, DFPS opted out because the rules were too restrictive, an agency spokesperson said. The Federal Health Department has since loosened regulations tied to the reimbursement. Now we are talking to other states about their experiences and evaluating our own needs before deciding next steps, said Patrick Crimmins, the DFPS spokesperson. Michael Corrigan is part of one vendor team offering a program, Vital Child, that would meet those new federal standards. He He said states can be hesitant to switch their systems to meet new guidelines because of competing priorities within the Child Welfare Agency. Corrigan said leadership turnover can also contribute to delays in prioritizing a big project like an IT system replacement. In recent months, DFPS has weathered a series of leadership changes, including the commissioner stepping into the lead position in January. Every day is chaos. When do they find the time? Corrigan said. Change is difficult. You got to have the money to start with and the time to figure out what solution would fit. In the last decade, the state has spent $101 million in general revenue funds for modernizing as well as other costs to maintain and update the system, according to state data obtained by Texas 2036. The state is set to spend millions more dollars tweaking impact. DFPS asked for more than $68 million in the 2024-25 budget for strengthening information technology and data resources, which includes impact. Impact alone is expected to cost about $3 million this budget cycle to maintain. Osborne with Texas 2036 said sticking with impact is squandering state money when a system replacement is imminent. Some of the efforts are there, but you can only put so many band-aids on a system that can't do the basic functionality of what you want it to do, Osborne said. This article originally appeared in the Texas Tribune at tinyurl.com/ysk-dt-dt6. Board hears legislative update reports. Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray gave an update on the legislative session in his opening remarks at the Board of Trustees meeting Tuesday. Murray told trustees the Texas House of Representatives debated vouchers Tuesday and the Senate was scheduled to do it Wednesday. Governor Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick have endorsed education savings accounts, which would be state-funded accounts that parents will have access to pay for things like private school tuition, homeschooling, and in some cases, high school and college education. According to the board recap, Murray said buried in the debate was talk of teacher pipelines and development programs, some of which have happened in ECISD, paid year-long residencies for education majors are one example. The idea of a teacher apprenticeship got some national coverage this week, the recap said. ECISD announced at the State of the District event earlier this month. Murray announced plans to create a teacher apprenticeship program which gives teacher candidates access to federal funds to help pay for the apprenticeship program with help from the Permian Strategic Partnership, the recap said. The board also heard a presentation from the Guidance and Counseling Department looking at students' pathway from elementary school to college, career and military readiness, and how effective advising supports students along the way, the recap said. Exploring career interests begins in elementary school with things like Career Day and Living Career Museums. In middle school, all 8th graders complete a career cluster profile that helps match their interests to potential careers. High schools give students resources to earn their diplomas and prepare for life after graduation, the recap said. Course selection, college night, FAFSA events with college representatives, and ECISD's 2 and through department are designed to help students achieve their academic goals. The recap said it requires continuous collaboration between counselors, teachers, campus and district leaders, parents, and the community to ensure students have all they need. The board also talked about results-driven accountability. Results-driven accountability, RDA, is a federal monitoring system for three student groups: bilingual, ESL, emergent bilingual, special education, and other special populations like homeless, foster care, and military connected. The report Tuesday was for the 2021-22 school year, and those groups' designations were 3, 3, and 4 respectively. Each saw improvement in some areas but got lowered due to an area. For bilingual and other special populations, it was a low score in STAR Social Studies. In special education, it was low scores in end-of-course English 1 or 2, the recap said. Special education achieved some academic growth not experienced before. Algebra improved. Science earned a 0, the best designation possible, as did graduation rate, with an increase of about 10%. The dropout rate also decreased. Overall, special education received a 2, improving from a 4 3 years ago. An update on winter 2023 MAP results also was presented. MAP stands for Measure of Academic Progress. The assessment is given 3 times to measure a student's growth from beginning to end of the school year. The report from Tuesday's meeting was for the middle of the year assessments. Growth goals have increased from last year to this year. The bar has been raised for students grades kindergarten through 6th. As goals grow, students move closer to proficiency, the recap said. MAP assessment can give a reliable prediction for the STAR tests to be given in April and May. And scores this round indicate ECISD results will be about 3 points higher. The recap notes there is still work to be done in order to catch up to the state's overall scores. Quick Hits Book Talk. The Alan Noel Art Museum, 4919 East University Boulevard, has scheduled a book talk at 6 p.m. today. Join the authors of Boom or Bust, Narrative, Life, and the Culture of the West Texas Oil Patch, along with Alan Noel Museum staff, for an evening of discussion regarding the book. Visit tinyurl.com/2s4c9w78. Lovesick. The University of Texas Theater Department is staging the play Lovesick by John Cariani at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2 p.m. Sunday in the UTPB Library Event Space. Fish Fridays. The Knights of Columbus Council 3203 has scheduled a Fish Fridays fundraiser from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Fridays through March 31st at St. Mary's Church Cafeteria, 612 East 18th Street. There will be fried fish and French fries in honor of Lent. Plates are $14 each. For more information, call 432-332-5334. Newsboys Let the Music Speak Tour. First Odessa 709 North Lee Avenue has scheduled Newsboys at 7 p.m. today. Tickets start at $30. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/BU9WVV6Y. An Evening with Emmett Smith, Midland College, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland, has scheduled an evening with Pro Football Hall of Fame running back and entrepreneur Emmett Smith at 7 p.m. today. This event is open to the public. For preferred seating, call the Midland College Foundation at 432-685-4526. For more information, email foundation@midland.edu. Indie Lens Pop-Up. Basin PBS, 203 North Main Street, Midland, has scheduled a screening of Storming Caesar's Palace from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. today. Preview the film and talk about transforming the low-watt economy women-led organizations and coming together as a community. Admission is free but must be registered in advance. Visit tinyurl.com/h25yuudr. Read to Felix, the Ector County Library Children's Department, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a Read to Felix event at 4 p.m. today. Felix is a therapy dog that loves to be read to. Visit tinyurl.com/37-3fp6ax. MC sets homecoming. Homecoming week at Midland College is March 27th through 31st. The Students' Activities Department has coordinated events for each day of the week, starting with Student Casino Night on Monday evening, Doubleheader Conference Softball Game at the Lady Shaps play against Frank Phillips College. The MC Alum of the Year will be announced between games at approximately 4:45 p.m. Visit tinyurl.com/yvf869kx for more information. Special Athletics Schedule. There are a number of special athletic contests this week. The Permian High School boys and girls soccer teams will play a playoff doubleheader today at Ratliff Stadium. The Lady Panthers take on El Paso Coronado at 2 p.m., followed by the boys' game between Permian and El Paso Pebble Hills at 5 p.m. Online ticket sales began Tuesday. Adults $5, students $3. Also, Odessa High School and Permian High School will play each other in a three-game series in baseball. The middle game on Friday night will be played at the Midland Rockhounds Ballpark, Momentum Bank Ballpark. Today, OHS versus PHS at OHS at 4:30 p.m. Friday, OHS versus PHS at Rockhound Stadium at 7 p.m. Saturday, PHS versus OHS at PHS at noon. Suicidal man accused in aggravated assaults. According to Odessa police, a drunk Odessa man intentionally crashed his GMC Yukon into a pickup truck carrying an 11-year-old girl and two adults early Sunday morning because he decided to kill himself during a police pursuit. An OPD officer reported that he was traveling through the Music City Mall parking lot around 1 a.m. Sunday when the driver of a GMC Yukon nearly rear-ended him while speeding. He said the driver, later identified as P.O. Cassina, 32, threw the vehicle in reverse and then drove over multiple curbs to get to East 42nd Street. The officer wrote he attempted to pull Cassina over, but Cassina refused to stop, kept speeding, and ran the red light at 42nd Street and North John Ben Shepherd Parkway Boulevard. Cassina, he said, then switched from the eastbound lanes to the westbound lanes and intentionally crashed into the only vehicle going west, a Ford F-150 carrying the girl and two adults. According to the officer's report, Cassina was irate and smelled of alcohol, slurred his words, had droopy eyes, and moved in a sluggish manner. The officers were unable to have Cassina perform field sobriety tests due to Cassina's anger, but he admitted he consumed an entire bottle of Jack Daniels. Cassina told the officer he refused to stop for him because he'd been speeding too much and he drove into the Ford because he wanted to kill himself, the report stated. No injury details were provided in the officer's report, but the driver of the Ford noted Cassina could have killed the little girl. Cassina was booked into the Ector County Jail at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday on suspicion of three counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, evading arrest with a vehicle, driving while intoxicated, and reckless driving. No bond has been set as of Wednesday afternoon. Obituary for March 23rd. Michael Dean Lester, Born January 3, 1964, age 59, Mike departed this earth on February 11th at Mission Trail Baptist Hospital in San Antonio. Mike was a father of his two daughters, Natosha Lene Madre, Casey Renee Gutierrez, son-in-law Steve Gutierrez, one grandson whom he was very close to and loved to play basketball with. He had seven sisters and brothers. Please join us for his memorial at Corky's Bar and Grill in Odessa on March 25th, starting at 2 o'clock. Death notices: Carlos Rivera Alvarez, 72, of Odessa, died Thursday, March 16th in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Mary Irene Smith Jones, 63, of Odessa, died Wednesday, March 15th, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. March 23rd at Bethlehem Baptist Church. Burial will follow at American Heritage Cemetery. Daryl Willis is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Midland. Permian Basin Calendar. Here is a listing of upcoming and continuing events in the Permian Basin. Have an event? Email oalife@oaoa.com. Monday Coffee for Women. Tenacious Woman Ministries has scheduled coffee chats for women from 9 a.m. to noon Mondays through May 29th. There will be a perfect chance to connect with other women and build meaningful relationships over a cup of coffee. Visit tinyurl.com/3T8ENUJZ. Free tax assistance. The Ector County Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue, has scheduled free tax assistance for seniors from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays through April 11th. Appointment is required. For more information or to make appointments, call 432-337-5281. United Way funding proposals. United Way of Odessa, 128 East 2nd Street, are currently accepting funding proposals for 2023-2024 Community Impact Funding through March 31st. Funding is open to nonprofit 501c3s serving in the United Way of Odessa service area who provide services to the area of health, education, and self-sufficiency. To request an application or for more information, call 432-332-0941. Bustin' for Badges raffle tickets. Bustin' for Badges clay shoot raffle tickets are available at the Odessa Police Department or Ector County Sheriff's Office. Raffle items are Polaris Ranger 570, $10,400 value, Kent Quick 52, $50 gas gift cards, $260 value and oil change gift cards, and Traeger Wood Pellet Grill, $900 value, plus Midland Meat Company, $500 gift card. The 10th annual shoot will be held May 4th and 5th at Windwalker Farms in Martin County. This event benefits both local law enforcement, OPD, MPD, ECSO, and MCSO, and helps pay for much-needed equipment. Raffle tickets are $20 each. There are a limited number of tickets. The raffle drawing will take place at May 5th at Windwalker Farms, and you do not have to be present to win. For raffle tickets or information, go to OPD's front desk or call OPD at 432-335-3322 or ECSO at 432-335-3050. To register for the shoot, visit bustin4badges.org. Congressional Art Competition. The Office of Congressman August Pfluger, Texas 11, is now accepting submissions for the 2023 Congressional Art Competition. The competition is open to all high school students in the 11th Congressional District of Texas and is an opportunity for local artists to be recognized for their talents among artists from around the nation. The deadline is May 1st. Students can register and upload images of their artwork on Pfluger's website at tinyurl.com/TX11Art. The winning student's artwork will be displayed in the Cannon Tunnel of the U.S. Capitol for 1 year. The art will be unveiled in a congressional reception in Washington, D.C. in late June, date to be determined. Winners and one guest are invited to the unveiling. Additional prizes may be announced. Artwork must be two-dimensional and original in concept, design, and execution. Art must follow the themes of Texas energy, Texas agriculture, or American patriotism, a news release said. Dimensions of the artwork can be no larger than 26 inches high, 26 inches wide, and 4 inches deep. Accepted mediums for the two-dimensional artwork are as follows. Paintings, oil, acrylics, watercolor, etc. Drawings, colored pencil, pencil, ink, marker, pastels, charcoal. It is recommended that charcoal and pastel drawings be fixed. Collages must be two-dimensional. Prints, lithographs, silkscreen, block prints, mixed media, use of more than two mediums such as pencil, ink, watercolor, etc. Computer-generated art, photographs. Students are highly encouraged to review the competition's complete rules and regulations on Congressman Pfluger's website. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/TX11Art or contact Kasia David in the Colleen office at kasia.david@mail.house.gov. Volunteers needed. Medical Center Hospital needs volunteers for its volunteer services. Applications may be found online. To apply or for more information, call 432-640-2249, email jjones1@echd.org, or visit tinyurl.com/yfjjmyhc. Odessa Regional Medical Center need of auxiliary volunteers. The auxiliary is open to men and women of all ages. For online registration forms, visit odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/volunteer. For more information, call 432-582-8090 or email rebeccamorales@stewart.org. Meals on Wheels of Odessa needs volunteers. Volunteer opportunities, drivers, kitchen staff, and mud bug fundraising. To sign up or for more information, call 432-332-6451, email volunteer@mowodessa.com or visit mowodessa.com. The West Texas Food Bank is in need of volunteers. Volunteer activities include assembling pantry boxes, assembling senior boxes, assembling food to kids' backpacks, sorting and processing donated items, sorting and processing produce, distributing food in our drive-through pantry, distributing food on a mobile outreach, and helping the garden team in the XTO Energy Innovative Gardens. All volunteers, regardless of age, are required to register through the WTF Volunteer Hub. Children must be 16 years of age or older to volunteer. Children under the age of 16 must be supervised by a parent or guardian. Dress appropriately and comfortably. No spaghetti strap shirts, short shorts, leggings, or clothes that are revealing. Also, closed-toe shoes only. No flip-flops, sandals, or heels are allowed in the warehouse for safety purposes. For more information or registering a group, email volunteer coordinator Cindy Garcia at cgarcia@wtxfoodbank.org. To register, visit tinyurl.com/mukxdvyf. Sol Ross Silent Nights. The Saul Ross State University Theater Program, 400 North Harrison Street, Alpine, has scheduled performances of Silent Sky weekends from March 24th through April 2nd. Tickets start at $15. For more information, email finearts@saulross.edu. Or to purchase tickets, visit bit.ly/SaulRoss-theater. Downtown Classics. The West Texas Symphony will present a Downtown Classics performance at 7:30 p.m. March 24th at the Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue. Visit tinyurl.com/yck5zv86. One chapter at a time, Ashbury United Methodist Church, 4001 East University Boulevard, has scheduled a women's conference from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. March 23rd. Registration is $15 and includes dinner. Visit tinyurl.com/3mrvh39u. Chris Dahlia, the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 FM 1788 Midland, will present Chris Dahlia at 8 p.m. March 24th. The doors open at 7 p.m. Visit tinyurl.com/2kja5hye. St. Laffrick's Comedy Show. Graham Entertainment will present a St. Laffrick's Comedy Show from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. March 24th at Class Act Event Venue, 101 North Mineola Street, Midland. Tickets start at $25. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/5bsf6syd. The Midland YMCA 800 North Big Spring Street, Midland, has scheduled a 10K, 5K, and 1K benefiting the YMCA Annual Campaign Scholarship Program from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. March 25th. Wear green. Visit tinyurl.com/mpv86njy. Keep Odessa Beautiful Educational Fair. Keep Odessa Beautiful has scheduled a Don't Mess with Texas Trash Off Educational Fair from 9 a.m. to noon, March 25th at Household Hazardous Waste, 814 West 42nd Street. Learn how to care for nature and the world around you. For more information, call 432-335-4686. Email kob@odessa-txgov or visit keepodessabeautiful.org or tinyurl.com/58USCPAN. Belmont Baptist Church Food Pantry. Belmont Baptist Church Food Pantry. Belmont Baptist Church, 1200 West 8th Street, has scheduled a food pantry event from 9 a.m. to noon on the fourth Saturday of each month. Visit tinyurl.com/yhn4ka3a. West Texas Symposium of History. Midland College, 3600 North Garfield Street, has scheduled the annual West Texas Symposium of History event from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. March 25th in the F. Murray Hall Academic Building. Presentations feature topics covering missile silos, healthcare, historic hotels, and baseball. Visit tinyurl.com/mdyumzf2. Severe Weather Awareness Class. Ready Midland County has scheduled a Skywarn class at 10 a.m. March 25th at the Midland County Horseshoe Pavilion, rooms A, B, and C, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Learn about severe weather and severe weather safety. Become an official National Weather Service spotter. Skywarn class is free and open to all ages. Registration is not required. For more information and full schedule, visit weather.gov/maf/top_skywarn. Take Me Fishing, Odessa Parks and Recreation has scheduled a fishing event March 25th at the Comanche Trail Park Pond, 301 West I-20. Registration will open at 10 a.m. and the event will end at 2 p.m. Visit tinyurl.com/YZZMREWEU. Odessa Reptile Expo. Show Me Snakes has scheduled a reptile expo from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. March 25th and 26th at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. There will be many great reptiles and lots of reptile supplies to choose from. Tickets start at $10. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/EF26ZX3B. A coalition of local small businesses has scheduled a shopping event from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. March 25th at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. There will be more than 40 vendors to shop from. Visit tinyurl.com/2P9UDE4P. Battle of the Bands. Raw Entertainment has scheduled a Battle of the Bands from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. March 25th at Bar Back Patio, 5216 West University Boulevard. The best of Norteño, country, and hip-hop music will be featured at this event. Tickets start at $15. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/KBH7UP5M. Monahan's Spring Street Jam. The Monahan's Chamber of Commerce has scheduled the Monahan's Spring Street Jam from 4 p.m. to midnight, March 25th, at the Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahan's Parkway, Monahan's. Performing live will be Jerry Hart and Flatland. There will be live music and vendors. Visit tinyurl.com/2KNPNR6B. Women's Conference. Ashbury United Methodist Church, 4001 East University Boulevard, has scheduled a women's conference in Spanish from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. March 25th. Tickets start at $15. Visit tinyurl.com/2S4E4YCK. Maricela La Dama de Hierro. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, has scheduled Maricela March 25th. The doors will open at 7 p.m. and the event will start at 8 p.m. Visit tinyurl.com/ZD3R2Y88. Bluebird Night at the Ector. The Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled a Bluebird Night from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. March 25th. Tickets start at $60. Visit tinyurl.com/YCK9XUW5. Busted Desert Radio. The Rabbit Hole Bar, 6009 North Golder Avenue, has scheduled Busted Desert Radio to perform from 8 p.m. to midnight, March 25th. Visit tinyurl.com/2P8XYC9F. Night of Worship and Prayer. Emmanuel 4020 East University Boulevard has scheduled a night of worship and prayer at 6:30 p.m. March 26th. Visit tinyurl.com/AH7Y75YT. High Tide. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, has scheduled High Tide March 28th. The doors will open at 6:30 p.m. and the event will start at 7:30 p.m. Visit tinyurl.com/3V9EYWT4. Storytime Butterflies. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a storytime event at 10 a.m. March 29th in the Children's Department. The craft will be a butterfly craft. Visit tinyurl.com/MW5YZSXE. Risk could be significantly lowered. Dear Dr. Roach, my husband's doctor is repeatedly pushing statins on my husband. His cholesterol was high in the past and is still slightly high, 239 mg/dL borderline high. I've checked the heart risk calculator. It said his risk is 22.1% and goes down to 16.6% if he does go on statins, which is still considered high risk. Also, my mother had heart surgery for a widowmaker with 90% blockage, and she has been on statins for ages, so I'm thoroughly confused. Also, he has stage 3B chronic kidney disease, and I read that statins could cause problems with his kidneys. Could you explain the benefit, if any, for him to be on statins? Also, my husband is adamant about not changing his diet. Thanks, I really am at a loss and am not sure what is best for him. Answer: if there were a medicine that was 100% effective at preventing heart disease and had no side effects, we would recommend it for everyone. Sadly, that doesn't exist. The best we have right now is a class of medicines, statins, that reduce relative risk by about 25% and has side effects bad enough for a person to stop it in about 1% to 5% of people. Because it is not perfectly effective and does have the possibility of serious side effects, we recommend treatment only in people with a high enough risk that the potential harms make treatment worthwhile. Every person with known heart blockages, like your mother, is recommended for lifelong statin therapy if they can tolerate it and don't have a good reason not to. People at a high risk, like your husband, 22%, is considered quite high, are also recommended treatment.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, March 23rd. Wonderful relationship has become a nightmare. Dear Abby, I have been in a relationship for 5 years. It started out wonderful, but now I'm having second thoughts. He keeps putting my kids down and telling me I'm a bad mother. It's so bad, he has even put a knife to my throat. And yes, he hits me. I am not an angel, but I always stand up for him and have his back. However, I don't see him having mine. There's so much more I could say, but I am scared if he knew that I was writing to you, it would end up bad for me. I need help, but I don't know what to do. He has isolated me from my family and friends. Please help me. Signed, Lost and Afraid in the East. Dear Lost, the man you are involved with is a dangerous abuser. What you must do next, for the sake of yourself and your children, is quietly contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline by calling 1-800-799-7233 or visiting thehotline.org for help in formulating a safe escape plan. It has been some time since I printed the warning signs of an abuser. For anyone who hasn't seen this list, these are classic indicators. Read on. 1. Pushes for quick involvement. Comes on strong, claiming, "I've never felt loved like this by anyone." An abuser pressures the new partner for an exclusive commitment almost immediately. 2. Jealous. Excessively possessive. Calls constantly or visits unexpectedly. Prevents you from going to work because you might meet someone. Checks the mileage on your car. 3. Controlling. If you are late, interrogates you intensely about whom you talked to and where you were. Keeps all the money. Insists you ask permission to go anywhere or do anything. 4. Unrealistic expectations. Expects you to be the perfect mate and meet his or her every need. 5. Isolation. Tries to isolate you from family and friends. Accuses people who are your supporters of causing trouble. The abuser may deprive you of a phone or car and try to prevent you from holding a job. 6. Blames others for problems or mistakes. It's always someone else's fault if something goes wrong. 7. Makes others responsible for his or her feelings. The abuser says, "You make me angry," instead of "I am angry," or says, "You're hurting me by not doing what I tell you." 8. Hypersensitivity. Is easily insulted, claiming hurt feelings when he or she is really mad. Rants about the injustice of things that are just a part of life. 9. Cruelty to animals or children. Kills or punishes animals brutally. Also may expect children to do things that are far beyond their ability. Whips a 3-year-old for wetting a diaper. Or tease them until they cry. 65% of abusers who beat their partners will also abuse children. 10. Playful use of force during sex. Enjoys throwing you down or holding you down against your will during sex. Finds the idea of rape exciting. 11. Verbal abuse. Constantly criticizes or says blatantly cruel things, degrades, curses, calls you ugly names. This may also involve sleep deprivation, waking you with relentless verbal abuse. 12. Rigid role of dominance. Expects you to serve, obey, and remain at home. 13. Sudden mood swings. Switches from sweet to violent in minutes. 14. Past battering. Admits to hitting a mate in the past, but says the person made him or her do it. 15. Threats of violence. Says things like, "I'll break your neck," or "I'll kill you," and then dismisses them with, "Everybody talks that way," or "I didn't really mean it."
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.